Well, hi there, Jonathan Dore with you once again for the weekly podcast. Welcome back, or welcome aboard if this is your first time. Last week was really cool. Thank you for people that posted comments. It was really good to get some comments posted on the site. Thank you for those of you who have been posting comments in iTunes. Really appreciate it. Makes a big difference. And if you are a heavy social media user, please look underneath the podcast here and come and join me on either Twitter or Google Plus or Facebook. I always try and keep the links on the site in lots of different places. So if you want to keep up with me there, that would be really cool. And if you're hearing this somewhere else, you might be hearing it on iTunes or somebody's lent it to you, make sure you sign up on the website. Just drop an email address in there so we can make sure we get you the weekly podcast every week. Okay, that is the housekeeping. I'm about to go on holiday tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Got a fantastic place that I get away to with the family really regularly on the coast, and just really excited about that. So the videos that I'll be sending out this week and will be coming, I'm going to try and film them on the beach and just see how that goes. But if you're not familiar with the videos, I put out a one-minute video every Wednesday and every Friday morning. Usually no more than about 60 to 70 seconds with a simple idea that I think you're really going to love. So make sure that you've signed up somewhere on the website so that you don't miss those. So this week, we're actually going to do two things. And I want to really make sure that every week I'm giving you good content. I listen to a lot of podcasts and there is so much fluff out there, so much kind of just, you know, hyper sales and just not a lot of content and tons of, you know, advertising breaks. So when I record stuff, I want to give you practical stuff that you can really use and keep it short. So today, what I want to do is two kind of key areas. I want to cover off on two things. Normally, with the weekly podcast, it's one key idea, but I wanted to cover off on two because they're just really good ideas. And the first one is a listener request, which is awesome. I love it. So if you ever, you know, have something that you'd like me to talk about, please send me an email or send me a, you know, private message on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere and just let me know. But I got an email yesterday from a young man called Nathan who had said he'd been listening for ages, which is really awesome. And he mentioned that, you know, I often talk about using journals. And he was like, you know, can you provide some advice about, you know, how we use them? And what a great idea. So I want to talk a little bit about journals in general. You may be using one, you may not. But I want to try and sell you on the idea of just how important they are. And then secondly, I want to, I've just been doing some reading and even today I'm further into a book and I want to share with you a great idea and I want to honor the author of that book and make sure that you know where you can buy it because the worst thing you can do is, you know, pass off ideas as if they're your own. A lot of the stuff I do on the weekly podcast is all from my life and things that I have learned and an original, and sometimes I just love to share with you great ideas from other people. So that's what I want to do in the second part. So let's talk a little bit about journals. The first thing I want to suggest is that it seems pretty common, you know, it's going on 20 years now, in fact longer, that I've been reading and studying, you know, success literature and personal development and some of the great people who've done amazing stuff and some of the real leaders. And one of the common facts, sort of common experiences they have, and you do find that, and how many times have I said this, that, you know, successful people have, you know, commonalities, things that they do repeatedly that they all seem to share. There's definitely room for creativity and individuality, but it seems like successful people do similar things. And this is really one of them. Successful people use journals or they use notebooks or they have a habit of constantly writing. So I want to talk a little bit about why that is. You know, because Tony Robbins has another great quote where he says, you know, success leaves clues. You know, success leaves clues. It's not rocket science. When you discover that heaps of really successful people use journals, then you can either say to yourself, well, there's no coincidence there. I'm not going to do that. Or you can go, well, if they're doing it, maybe if I did it, I'll start to mirror some of what they achieve in life. And so, and if you don't want to, if you're listening to this going, oh, that's just, you know, rah, rah, hyper, you know, motivational stuff, I go, not in fact true. Some of you would know from listening to me that in my second master's degree, I did a lot of work in philosophy, and Aristotle had a great quote where he famously said over 2,500 years ago, the unexamined life is not worth living. The unexamined life is not worth living. There's so much in that. I feel just on that one quote, I could do almost an entire podcast. You know, the basis of his pitch is saying that part of being human, part of this incredible gift that we've been given by God as human persons, is to sort of mine the riches of who we are and to get deeper and deeper in touch with our psychological, emotional, relational, spiritual layers. And the ability to shut all that off is not really that human. Like there's a part of us that is designed, that's made for reflection, for looking at our actions, looking at our progress, looking at where we are, looking at our relationships, and evaluating them against where we'd like to be. It's a very human thing. Now, I want to suggest that we've got a couple of dangers here, and I'm a big fan of technology, big fan of social media, but I really am disciplined about controlling it rather than it controlling me. So in terms of, you know, I'm very careful around technology, around my kids. Like I don't want them growing up with a father who's plugged into something all the time. I'm very disciplined about that. But what I want to say about tech, as well as the positives, is it's really taking over our lives in a lot of ways, and it can numb us. We can become, you know, we know from studies on brainwave patterns and all sorts of stuff that technology can really impact us. And sometimes the pace at which we're living, you know, Twitter first thing in the morning, email, you know, social media all day, reading online stuff all day, coming home in the evening, television, coming home in the evening, just more social media. You know, that may not be your experience, but it is for a lot of people. And the outcome is that we can just sort of live on a treadmill of just experience, experience, experience. And none of that's neutral, because your brain all the time is secreting neurochemicals like dopamine, constantly looking for the next distraction, the next little dopamine hit. See, our brains are wired for novelty. I don't know if you know that, but one of the ways that our brains have evolved is for novelty. You know, one of the ways we protected ourselves was we'd always be scanning our environment. So think back to caveman times. And we'd be scanning our environment, and we became very good at noticing anything different in our environment. So if you got out of your, you know, your cave every day, and there was just an open plain in front of you, and then you get up one day and there's a saber-toothed tiger sitting in the middle of the open plain walking towards you, your brain goes, ooh, that's different. And because life and death were just so frequent and just intertwined, you learn to scan the environment for novelty. Now, we've become far more advanced. Our prefrontal cortex and our brain are higher order thinking skills for sure, but our limbic system, our animal brain, is still in place, and it's still wired for novelty. So all this is a way of saying that we can get really wired into constant stimulation and constant change. The danger in that, of course, is that we don't do the times of silence and reflection. And gosh, if you've been listening to me for a few years, you know that things like silence and reflection are something that I'm really focused on. So one of the things journaling is going to do in terms of this concept of, you know, Aristotle's unexamined life, is it's going to just push us into a discipline of constantly reflecting and evaluating on where we sort of are or where we want to get to. Because, you know, journaling is going to perform those two functions. It's going to give you a chance to say, well, I'd like to be here. These are the circumstances, the people, the relationships, the career. These are the things that I want to be heading towards. You know, as one speaker says, why don't you give your brain some help? Like, just tell it where you want to go. Have you ever thought of that? That's like a basic success principle. One of the crucial things about journaling and motivational personal development, you know, step one in so much of the literature is, where are you trying to get to? Where is the place that you're working towards? And sometimes you think, well, I just know, you know, I've said in previous podcasts, a lot of people go, you know, what do you want? And they go, well, I want to be rich. And you go, well, pretty much everybody would say that, you know, some people not, but many people would. But, you know, you've got to start to put dollar values on things, and I want to be here at this point, and this is what I want to achieve. And, you know, journaling is going to help you do that. Journaling is going to give you that sort of concept of what I call bridging the gap, which will, you know, is the working title of my next book, you know, bridging the gap between I'm here now and that's where I want to be. And, you know, why journal it? Why not just know it? Or just, you know, just maybe a couple put a dot point somewhere on your TV so you can see it, you know, or your whiteboard, or just something that pops up on your computer screen. Why journal? Well, back in the 12th century, another great philosopher, St. Thomas Aquinas, a beautiful quote that a friend of mine, Dr. Gerard O'Shea, shared with me years ago. Aquinas had a great quote where he talked about the hand as, here's the quote, the conjoined, I love that word, the conjoined instrument of the mind. The hand is the conjoined instrument of the mind. So when your mind is framing imaginative sequences and a future that you'd like to see, it's the using of the hand that actually sort of puts that link between the mind and physical reality on paper. So it's a beautiful saying, the conjoined instrument of the mind. I really like that. So recently, I've been sort of, you know, back out there journaling, and letting stuff from my mind come down onto the paper. So, you know, the last sort of, I guess, big scale, abstract, philosophical thing about journaling is just how it allows you to map, I guess, your history and your future. So I can tell you, in my office here, I've got a specially sealed waterproof box that has journals going back 15, 20 years now. And it is amazing. And to be honest, I don't read them that often. I think I'm waiting till I'm like 60 or 70. But just so much stuff, you know, poetry that I wrote when I was overseas and my whole journey with Karen before we were married, like all the feelings that I had and dating and all the stuff that we did, every single bit of it, every feeling, every conversation, seriously, I'm talking hundreds of pages is there documented. Do I want the world to see this? No, but it's just part of a rich, full human experience that, you know, like a great wine, years from now, it'll be there. You know, but I guess back when I was writing that, we really didn't have mobile phones much, and we really didn't have the internet the way we do now. So I know it was easier then, but, you know, with the discipline and the motivation, we can definitely start to, you should be capturing your life, capturing your feelings and the changes. And there's a great quote that I found. I just want to bring it up here on my laptop in the studio. Great quote from Isaac Watts, who was born in 1674. He was a theologian, a specialist in logic, and a great hymn writer, a great musician. Listen to this beautiful way that he expresses the power of journaling. He says, "Once a day, especially in the early years of life and study, call yourselves to an account what new ideas, what new propositions or truth you have gained, what further confirmation of known truths, and what advances you have made in any part of knowledge." I mean, that was 1674. And he's saying, you know, while you're young, especially, you know, capture what you've learned, ideas that you've had that have been changed by new information. So that's some of the big picture abstract stuff, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living, the conjoined instrument of the mind, capturing the history and your future. And again, I want to reinforce that idea of bridging the gap, you know. So now down the practical side, because Nathan's question was, well, what do you actually do? And the answer is pretty much whatever you like. I want to give you some, so basically the way I use journals at the moment, firstly for me, I like quite beautiful stationery. So I use the Moleskine diaries and I buy one a year. It's a bit of a ritual. Karen would tell you, we end up, you know, around the New Year's sales out there hunting different stores till I find exactly the right one. It's really strange. I must have certain kind of, you know, conventions, and I don't want calendar things stuck on the bottom, and I want space to do this, and I like to rule pages, and I have these wacky rules, but it becomes very personal. So, you know, but what I do these days, I have a lot of freedom with my time, is I love cafes, and I love just going to sit in a cafe, I grab a coffee, and I might be, you know, capturing ideas from a book, or just constantly mapping my future daily. Now, in terms of goals, and this might help with Nathan's question, was, okay, look, the master on, if you're new to goals and goal setting, the master, I think probably indisputably, is Brian Tracy. So if you look up anything by Brian Tracy and goals, download his audiobooks, buy the books, listen to his stuff, you know, he will step you through a masterclass of goals. But one of the things I like about his goal theory is, you know, he starts off saying that when he was new and starting out in goals, he would, you know, like New Year's Eve, write his goals and then realize that he would forget them. So he'd do them twice a year. And he goes through the story, but eventually it was twice a day. He would get up in the morning and put them down. And then again at the evening, write them down, grooving them into his subconscious. So I'm pretty much a daily kind of journal goal sort of person. I'll just constantly be putting down the big ticket things that I'm working on. I want to do this. I want to do this. And I just every day, sometimes, you know, 5 or 6 lines, you know, Brian Tracy really talks about them in the future tense. So instead of going, you know, I want to get this promotion, or I want to, you know, pay this much off my mortgage, or I want to make this team or earn this degree, he does the future tense or the current tense. So it's like he sort of goes, I am promoted into this position, or I am earning this much, or I am contributing here. So, but basically for me now, it's just a daily thing, open to the day. I've merged a diary and a journal together. I do have lots of separate journals, but at the moment I work off a kind of journal diary combined. So I use a physical pen written to-do list every day, and I just love crossing stuff off. So part of my journaling is just having a list of things that I want to get through in the day. And then the whole space underneath is key ideas, books that I'm reading, and as I've said, rewriting the goals. So Nathan, basically I'd say if you're on the goal stuff, get on to Brian Tracy stuff, but basically follow your heart. Cafes are awesome. There's a link between, I think, where you're journaling. You know, you got to find a place that you love. Cafes are really good. There's actually some sort of research on how the ambient sounds of cafes allow really good concentration. And believe it or not, I have a website, not that I own, that I use. I think it's called rainycafe.com, or if you just do a Google search on Rainy Cafe, it's the coolest website, totally free. It just has the sounds of a cafe. And you put headphones on and you just like sit wherever you are. You might be on a plane or you could be at the beach. If you're at the beach, get the headphones off. But if you're somewhere else with distraction, you can just listen to the ambient sounds of a cafe and you can turn rain on as well. And it's the coolest thing. But, you know, cafes are a great place. So what I'm saying is, wherever is a place that you love to go and you feel creative in, go there. I'm serious. This is a big revelation for me. You've got to put yourself in the places where your creativity, your engagement, you know, can really work. So I've got three beautiful young kids. They are crazy, loud, vibrant, just out there. So I don't try to do journaling, you know, in what we call arsenic hour, which is kind of 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. You know, in my sort of kitchen, dining room and stuff at that time of night, it is just crazy. And my circadian rhythms, as you probably know from multiple weekly podcasts, is I'm a really early morning person and no good at night. So I tend to get to sleep nice and early. So I don't try to journal in the evening. So practical stuff. Find things that work for you, places where you feel creative, times of day where you feel creative, jot down your to-do list, jot down key goals, and just keep writing them every day, and just work through the Brian Tracy stuff to get the theory behind that. All right, the last thing I wanted to do and I hope that's useful. If there's more questions I can help you with on journaling or questions you have, then hit me. You can find me on Twitter at Jonathan Doyle Co. Or just search for, it should be Jonathan Doyle Co. At Twitter, or you can find me at Choices Media, fbjonathan.com for Facebook, and of course Jonathan Doyle on Google+. And now the next thing I want to do in this session was to talk a little bit about this cool book I'm reading. I heard a great interview. I listen to a lot of podcasts with Jonathan Fields and the Good Life Project. I really recommend checking out his stuff. He does some great stuff. And recently did an interview with Kate Northrup. And I'll put a link to Kate's website under the podcast here. Now, Kate's just written a great book called For the Love of Money. It's called Money, A Love Story. That's the correct title. Money, A Love Story. And it's the coolest book. It's a great book on how your personal feelings and psychology around money, your childhood experiences, can really affect where you are at financially now. And I've just found it really powerful. Great book. Interesting interview on Jonathan Fields' Good Life podcast. But I was reading it today, and she's talking about Marie Forleo, who some of you would know is a really popular sort of life coach. And Marie was sort of saying at one point, as her business took off, that she really wanted to live in a certain part of New York. But she noticed that she was saying to herself, you know, the common thing that most of us do, I can't afford that. And as she worked through it, she realized that the thing was not that she couldn't afford it, but what she suddenly realized in a moment of insight was that, you know, once she really sort of stepped up and said, no, I do want X, whatever it is, moving to this part of New York, she realized the work involved. And I guess how I'm trying to explain this is that she caught herself using the excuse, I can't afford it, where what she really meant was, I'm afraid of just how hard this might be, or I'm afraid of how hard I might have to work. So what I want to do with this is talk about something I have mentioned before, which is the stories we tell ourselves, and just how subtle we can be in sabotaging ourselves. So let me flesh this out a little bit. You know, Marie Forleo in Kate Northrup's book is going, I want to live here, but, you know, oh, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Simple answer, I can't afford it. But as she digs, she realizes that's not the truth. The truth is, gosh, I could afford it, but I'd have to step up to here to do it. I'd have to step up this high. I'd have to work this hard. I'd have to change. And that scares us, all of us. It scared her, and she's a guru. And basically, I think this is a real insight for all of us. We have to be careful, you and I, about the things we tell ourselves about why X isn't happening. You know, well, I can't get the date that I want with this person, or I can't, you know, make my marriage work like this, or I can't get this promotion, or this degree's too hard, or I can't earn this much, or we can't, you know, buy this house, or I can't make this team. Wherever you are in life listening to this right now, think about something you'd really like to achieve. And if you are journaling, just this is your homework. Think about something, and friends, I can promise you, I really in this lead by example, because I can think of 4 or 5 goals I've got at the moment. Well, I've looked at them for a while and gone, you know, am I getting closer? Why not? Yes, no, where am I? And if I was honest, I'd say part of this is belief systems. If, wow, to actually do that, I'm aware that I would have to become different. And there's something I've talked about before called homeostasis. Homeostasis is the way that your body regulates its blood pressure, neurochemicals, hormones, breathing patterns. It's the way that our body keeps trying to work back to a resting state. And, you know, to grow in fitness and stuff, we have to push out beyond that. And we come back to it, but we keep pushing out beyond it. So I want to give you something really challenging here, which is to say a lot of the time there is a big part of you and I working against ourselves, but it's so subtle and so tricky that if you call it out, if you name it and expose it, it will deny that it even exists. So come back to, you know, Marie Forleo's story. You know, she's there going, I can't afford it. It's much easier to say, I can't afford it. It's not that threatening. It's because if you say, I can't afford it, well, then all sorts of things could be responsible. Oh, it's the economy. Well, you know, I didn't get this job. My boss is terrible. And, you know, and I can't do this because my kids are too young and I can't work here and I can't do that. You get off the hook. I get off the hook. We get off the hook by picking the easiest possible excuse and going, you know, well, that's just how it is. But the hard work of real growth, and this is my passion in doing these podcasts for you and for me, is because we can grow if we start telling ourselves the truth and go, wow, yeah, you know, like, you know, this is the truth. The truth is I'm scared. The truth is, what if I did this and people didn't like me? I mean, this is the basic human fear. So many books talk about, you know, because we're communal creatures, we're communal beings, we desire relationship and community. We're often terrified that if we step out and change, the people close to us won't like us. And, you know, you've got to mess with that stuff. You've got to go, no, the greatest gift I can give the world and those that I love is authenticity, is to be really who I am, to go, you know what, I can't be afraid anymore. I don't want to be scared anymore. I actually want to step out and live fully, and I want to blow up the boundaries, and I want to just push myself and just become the best that I can possibly become. And look, that is the story of my life. I don't know why I believe that so passionately, but I keep saying in interviews and when I'm speaking in you know at different events, I'm like, that's it. At the end of the day, I'm a what's possible guy. You know, if we look at these blockages and roadblocks, what could we do? So I really want to encourage you, and this is, you know, out of integrity, to get a copy of Kate Northrup's book, Money, A Love Story, and just work through some of the exercises. It's a really well-written book and some great exercises in there. I'm not being paid by Kate, so this isn't a plug that I'm benefiting from. I just want to honor other authors and other thinkers who are out there doing stuff. So it's affected me. So let's do a summary. Get yourself a journal. If you're already using one, use it more. And friends, this is discipline. Remember, habits are going to take you 60 to 80 days. So many podcasts I've said, people go, oh, it's 21 days to get a habit. No, it's not. I did some work on that brilliant book that I read a while back, and I've shared it in previous posts, Making Habits, Breaking Habits, by one of the best, you know, researchers in the world on habits. 60 to 80 days minimum till you get a habit in. So journal, it's got to keep rolling out day after day. And the other key thing today is the stories we tell ourselves why we can't afford X. The truth is we're just afraid. You know, we need to name that. I need to name that. You need to name that. I'm afraid. I'm afraid it'll fail. I'm afraid of risk. I'm afraid of not being loved. I'm afraid of embarrassment. I'm terrified of rejection. Let's all just admit it, that we're worried that people won't like us and we're worried that things will fail. But let's get out from under the rocks and let's go, well, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail big. I'm going to blow up big time. You know, my little boy, Aiden, is just gorgeous. And you can, you know, he has a mantra that I've taught him. And he, if you asked him, you know, this question, he would just spit it out in 2 seconds. He's got this thing where he goes, it's okay to make mistakes, Dad, isn't it? It's okay to make mistakes, Dad, isn't it? Because every time since he's been little, when he's made a mistake or got something wrong, I've just held his face in my hands and I said, mate, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. You know, part of my job as a father will eventually be to go, it's okay to make mistakes. Ideally, they need to be new ones. You know, we want to keep making new mistakes. The goal is not to make the same one indefinitely. But I get that, you know, he and I will grow in that together. But, you know, don't be afraid. What is it in your life right now? What is it? Is it financial? Is it relational? Is it professional? You know, why are you not asking for a promotion? You're not asking for a step up. You know, I'll get fired or I'll be rejected. So go and get rejected. Go and get it done. Go and get it done now, tomorrow. Go and get rejected. Ask for that date. Make that phone call. Just do it. You know, I'm advocating nothing criminal. Make sure you get other advice, blah, blah, blah. Disclaimer, don't do anything dangerous, reckless. I'm not giving you financial advice, blah, blah, blah. But I'm basically saying, you know, what's holding you back? Because on the other side of what's holding you back is growth and the life that you really want to live. And if you've got this far in this podcast, that's who you are. You're somebody that wants more. I'm somebody that wants more. I want to contribute more. I want to grow so I can give more and help more people get released and grow. So end of sermon. If you're in business or government or organizations, get in touch with me. If you'd like me to come and work with your staff on leadership, motivational, personal development, self-care, a whole range of areas related to business and personal development. Even if you're in the education sector, I can work with staff groups. So I'm happy to come and speak to your event or organization if you want to get in touch. So from here, jump on iTunes for me. Do an iTunes search for Jonathan Doyle and you'll see the weekly podcast. I'd love you to leave a review. Post a comment here on the site. If you're listening to this on the website or you've downloaded it, post a comment underneath here and let me know what you think. But the biggest thing you could do in return for this totally free podcast, share it with people, grab the link and say, hey, sign up on this website. It's really good stuff every week. You know, share it with your friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, kids, spouse, anybody, parents. I'd love more people to listen to these ideas because as we listen to them, we all grow. World gets to be a tiny bit of a better place. So I'm about to go on holiday, really looking forward to it, going to do some awesome cycling, going to be at the beach with the kids and just so looking forward to it. So wherever you are in this coming week or wherever you're listening to this, I hope it's been useful. Just get out there and live. Stop being afraid. Listen to things you're telling yourself. Get that journal. I'm Jonathan Doyle and I'll be speaking with you again for sure next Monday on the Weekly Podcast.